Well, today is Pentecost Sunday on the church calendar. When we turn to this page in Acts chapter 2 of God's Word to learn about that first Pentecost so many years ago and what happened on that day. But of course, questions arise immediately when we start talking about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, and it's an awful lot of fun to sit down and talk about all these things and to understand what it is that really happened and what it means to us today. Pentecost is the Greek name for the Jewish Feast of Weeks. It took place on 7 weeks or 7 sevens after the Feast of First Fruits, and it celebrated the wheat harvest, this Pentecost festival. If one counts the Sabbath day as a festival, then Pentecost was one of 8 festivals the Jewish people that were commanded by God to observe. And in our text today, by the way, Pentecost was a very, very important festival to the Jewish people. It was one in which Paul, even on his missionary journeys, wanted to get back to Jerusalem to celebrate. And the Jews gathered from all over. All those, even converts to Judaism, would come to Jerusalem to observe this feast, this celebration of Pentecost. In our text today, we find the disciples now casting lots and adding Matthias to the 11, because, of course, Judas was lost. And it tells us that when the day of Pentecost came, they, meaning the disciples, were all together in one place. They came into Jerusalem for this feast. Suddenly, it tells us, like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So as the disciples were in this location in Jerusalem to celebrate this feast or this festival, there was something that sounded like a violent wind, the roaring of the wind around them that came into the house. And they saw, the Bible tells us, what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now, when we start to unfold and unpack what this means, it's easy to be persuaded to go down a bypass meadow, down a path that leads us off into some kind of false teaching or heresy about what really happened and what it meant to the early church and what it means to us today. What they saw wasn't necessarily these tongues of fire. What they saw, as it was described, is how the Holy Spirit came upon these men. That the Holy Spirit came on these men like fiery, pure, like lightning, the Greek language tells us. Like lightning, these languages, these tongues, these glossa, came upon these men just like that. As they were gathered together, they heard the noise as if they were in a violent thunderstorm. And bang, in an instant, all of a sudden, these men that were unable to do something that was about to happen, they were enabled by the power of God's Holy Spirit to do something that was impossible. They saw what seemed to be fiery languages, powerful languages, separate and come to rest on each of the disciples. And it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, this wasn't a chaotic mess. As the Spirit enabled them, they spoke in other languages. Okay? All the translations verify this, that these were other languages. And there was a purpose for this. Because there in Jerusalem were all the pilgrims from all over the then known world had come to Jerusalem for the festival. But they didn't all speak the Jewish language. They didn't speak Hebrew. Some of them didn't speak Greek. It says there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, Are not all these men we're speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Now, it was clear by this that they were, it says, utterly amazed. They were filled with great wonder, as if to say, what in the world is going on? What does this mean in verse 12, they ask. In the Greek, it describes this as they were put out of their wits. They didn't have a clue what was going on. They didn't have a clue how this was happening. How these Galileans were speaking in other languages. When there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors all the way from Rome, Jews and converts to Judaism. There were Cretans, Arabs, all these people from all over the place that couldn't speak the same language. How is it that these Galilean men were able to all of a sudden, in a fiery instant, speak all these different languages? They were utterly amazed. Verse 12 says, they were amazed and perplexed. They were not only filled with great wonder, they were uncertain of what was going on and they were confused. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. How is it that this is happening? How is it that these men that can't speak these languages can? And as we hear them speaking our languages, what is it that they're doing? They are declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues or languages. So it's clear that they understood what those men gifted by the Holy Spirit were saying. It was clear, it was evident, it was understandable. We hear them declaring the wonders of God. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? Now, this was not some spooky event. This wasn't some crazy display of ecstasy or whatever, not some ecstatic, emotional, chaotic, disorderly show. It was an act of the grace of God. And the purpose, the way we know that was, the purpose that it was given to them was to glorify God. This was an act of grace. You know, when Paul talks to the Corinthian church about the spiritual gifts and about worship, he talks about the importance of orderly worship, everything in its own turn and in its own time, so that there isn't disorder, because God is a God of order, the Bible tells us. This wasn't a disorderly thing. As the Spirit enabled them, they would speak in different languages one at a time so that everyone around that was gathered there could hear about the wonders of God. It wasn't meant to freak anybody out or scare anybody away. It was meant to draw them in, and that's what the Holy Spirit does when the Holy Spirit comes on a person. He draws them to God. He doesn't scare them out of the church and out of the doors. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in a person, to draw others to God by means and ways that are virtually impossible for that person to accomplish on their own power. Of course, people made fun of them. Some of them said, oh, they've had too much wine. Well, things haven't changed much in, what, a couple thousand years. That's usually the case today when someone filled with the Holy Spirit declares the wonders of God and preaches the gospel and stands true to God's word. It's kind of a novelty to some people. Oh, look, that's really cute. Oh, look, they were really, really went off today, didn't they? You know, and it's really kind of cute and they laugh about it. Yeah, well, that's okay. Things haven't changed. But Peter explained here what was going on. Here's Peter. Matthew tells us that Peter was a fisherman. He was not some seminary grad. He wasn't a biblical scholar. He wasn't a scribe. He was a fisherman. So what does he do? He stands up and he preaches, for crying out loud. Peter stood up. And he raised his voice and he addressed the crowd and he said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, Well, I can explain this to you. Listen carefully. These men are not drunk. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he quotes Joel's scripture. And in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. On my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days and they'll prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. You see, Peter was saying this is just exactly what God told everybody was going to happen. That's how we know it was an act of grace. God said it was going to happen, that there was a day coming when He would pour out His Spirit on all people. This was the day. Going from the present to the past, Peter testified what God said would happen did. Remember just days before, 50 days before or so, when His disciples were with Jesus in the upper room, Jesus promised that there would be another counselor, the Spirit of Truth, He called Him. He said, if I go to my Father, I'll send another counselor, the Spirit of Truth, to be with you. Not only will He be with you, but He will be in you. In John chapter 14, Jesus talks about this. The Spirit of Truth that the world cannot accept because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you'll know Him, for He lives with you and He will be in you. If you love Me, you'll obey what I command. I'll ask the Father and He'll give you another counselor, another paraclete, another to be with you. He said, all this I've spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will do what? Teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said to you. That's exactly what was going on in Jerusalem that day on the first Pentecost. The Holy Spirit literally consumed these men and gave them the ability to teach and remind everyone of all that Jesus had said, declaring the wonders of God. In chapter 16, He says to His disciples at the same evening, I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away, because unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send Him to you. When He comes, what will He do? He'll convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. When the Holy Spirit comes on someone, He speaks the truth. He teaches about Jesus. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He validates this. The Holy Spirit will never, ever go against God's Word. If you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you, say, I don't know, I want to check it out, here's where you go. You don't go down and buy the latest book, the bestseller on the newsstand, written by so-and-so, claims to have been something or other, had some kind of experience. You go to God's Word, and that's where you'll find whether it's really the Holy Spirit. All the way back from the beginning of the Bible, God's Spirit was working in people to give them abilities to do what they normally couldn't do. In 2 Chronicles, the Spirit of God came on Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and he said to them, thus God has said, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord and do not prosper? It's because you've forsaken the Lord that He's also forsaken you. He stood up and He convicted the people just like Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do when the Holy Spirit came. So Peter stands up and there he is preaching to the people. And he's telling them what's going on. And he went on through this exposition of who Jesus really was. And he comes to this conclusion at the end of his sermon. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord, supreme authority, and Christ, the Messiah. You see, Peter went back through and he talked all about what happened to Jesus and the resurrection power. And in the end of his sermon, he declared, Jesus is the supreme authority. He's God and the Messiah that God promised. In Isaiah chapter 44, the prophet says, I'll pour out water on the thirsty land, quoting God, and streams of dry ground. I'll pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. God promised this was going to happen. When Paul spoke of the filling of the Holy Spirit to the Corinthians, he described it in this way about the spiritual gifts. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. Gifts, service, works. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I want you to hold on to that. For each one, the same God works all of them in all people. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues or languages. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. But you see, in our day and age, there's become a lot of criticism because we don't just do this a certain way. But Paul said, we're the body with many parts, many gifts. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No. We are different. We have different gifts given to us by the one Spirit for the glory of God. Notice what is not listed in our Bible as spiritual gifts. Social status, busyness, materialism, good health, a good reputation, freedom from problems, wealth, pride. You'll find them nowhere in God's Word as gifts of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people think because the church is busy, we have a lot of programs, we've got a lot of activities, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That is not biblical. When the Holy Spirit truly moves a church, it won't be for the good of the church. It'll be for the common good of all people, so that the whole world can know about the great wonders of God. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, he talked about the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, you see the fruit is the produce. It's what will be produced when we use our spiritual gifts. When we use our gifts, and believe me, there are others Paul talks about in Romans, the gift of prophesying, the gift of serving, teaching, encouraging. Some of you say, well, I don't have these other spiritual gifts. Can you encourage somebody for crying out loud? That's a spiritual gift. The gift of encouraging. Contributing to the needs of others. Leadership. Showing mercy. Our spiritual gifts. And when we exercise our spiritual gifts, the produce, or what is produced from a Christian, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That describes Jesus. When we are allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us for the good of others, what will they see? They will see Jesus. They will see Jesus. When one does not use their spiritual gifts, they become flat. They become lukewarm. And they become lifeless. When we think of the sodas, the number one ingredient in these is carbonated water. Carbonated water. Each one is different. It has its own taste. As has been poured into it, it's different in its own way. But yet, when it's opened up and the ingredient inside is allowed to come out, it benefits those who enjoy it. It refreshes. It fills some sort of need inside us, you see, as it flows out of us. It's not meant to stay sealed inside forever. He's not meant to be capped and sealed so that he never comes out. He's meant to be opened so that the Holy Spirit can flow out of us. If God puts His Holy Spirit in us and we do nothing but just simply sit around, we know what will happen, don't we? Some people say, I don't know about this Holy Spirit thing. I want to be a Christian, and I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in Jesus. But this Holy Spirit thing, I don't have any spiritual gifts, and that really doesn't apply to me. You want to know something? You can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit in you. That's not the way it works. Like, you can't be a soda without carbonated water inside you. You see, if we sit around doing nothing with what's inside us, we become flat. We become this kind of yucky tasting, lukewarm, of no benefit to anybody around us. So as time goes, when the need comes, we say, well, I can't do that. That's right, we can't. But you know who can? The Holy Spirit that's inside us. The flavor and the freshness and the life that's inside us bubbles out to refresh the whole world and tell the whole world about the goodness of God and His Son Jesus Christ. And yes, there will be a time when we will become empty. We'll become empty. But that doesn't mean God doesn't have enough to fill us up again, does it? You read about the disciples again and again. When the situation arose, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, filled back up, only to be poured out again as a drink offering, Paul calls it. Same Spirit, different gifts. We can't all be one or the other. But we're given different gifts for the common good, so that the whole world might know the wonders of God. And the fact is, folks, we are still living in a season of Pentecost. Until Christ comes back, this is Pentecost every single day of our lives. It's our opportunity to allow God to use what He's put inside us for the benefit of others. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is quoted as saying, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come on you. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." How do we witness? Well, in a lot of different ways. You can witness in ways I can't. I can witness in ways you can't. Because we're not the same, but we're filled with the same Spirit. The important thing is that we witness, that we share the gospel with others, that we have mercy and compassion on the whole world using our spiritual gifts. The first question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? What's the end of humanity? What's the reason we're here? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. How do we glorify God in our existence? By allowing the Holy Spirit to use us. See, I don't know, I'm scared. These guys probably were too. These guys probably were too. They were perplexed. They were amazed at what was going on. They wondered at what was going on. Said, we don't know what's going on. What's going on here? But that didn't stop them from using the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to come out of them. And when the Holy Spirit did, look what happened. The church grew into the thousands. It grew into the thousands. What is Pentecost? It's the outpouring of God's Spirit. It's an act of grace, a gift of grace for the glory of God. And Jesus said to all who believe in me, wells, springs of living water will flow from them. Springs of living water will flow from them. And those springs flow in a lot of different ways, but from the same source, the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to go home today and I want you to sit and think what your spiritual gifts might be. If you say, I don't think I have any, you're not being true to yourself and you're not being honest with God. Because we all, if we are believers and followers of Jesus, have the Holy Spirit inside us and we have spiritual gifts to share with the whole world. And that's God's grace. That's the comforter That's the helper. That's the counselor that Jesus promised to be with us forever and to be in us until he comes again for us. Let's pray. Lord our God, how wonderful are your words to us this morning.